Thank you, and good morning, and welcome to Citizens March 4th, 2026 Actuarial and Underwriting Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene immediately following the Finance and Investment Committee meeting. It is recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. Chair Bruff, we have no speaker requests for today's meeting. I'll proceed with official roll call.
Please.
Chair Bruff.
Here.
Governor Beck Smith. Governor Spotswood.
Here.
Governor White.
Here.
Fred Strauss, technical advisor, is unable to attend today. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Ms. Montero, your turn again.
I want to pass it over to Brian.
Okay.
Good morning, Chairman, committee members. I'm Brian Donovan, Chief Actuary at Citizens, and I'll give an update for the 2025 rate filing. So Citizens did receive a rate order this past Monday, March 2nd, from the Office of Insurance Regulation. And I just want to go through, you know, remind you what we filed and what was approved and go through some of the details of that. So you may recall back in December, for you know, the overall indication for Citizens across all lines of business was 2.3%. We recommended a rate change of minus 0.8%, and the OIR approved a rate change of minus 4%. And now this does vary by line of business. If we just look at personal lines, the indication was minus 0.3%. Our recommendation was minus 2.6%, and the office approved minus 5.9%. The difference between what we recommended and what was approved has to do with how the glide path capping was applied. When we made our recommendation, we recommended for all personal lines policies that all indicated rate changes be capped between minus 15 and plus 15. The office agreed with this except for two lines of business. For homeowners and condos, both multi-peril and wind-only, for primary business, they ordered a rate cap of minus 15 to minus 2, and for non-primary, from minus 15 to 0. So for those lines of business, which are our biggest personal line, you know, homeowners especially, if you're primary, you'll get at least a 2% decrease, and it could be as low, you know, as much as a 15% decrease. Non-primary will see no rate increases and would see some decreases up to minus 15. All the other lines of business for personal lines were approved as filed with a minus 15 plus 15. One important thing that was in the order that needs to be highlighted is that the OIR declared these lines of business I just described, the homeowners, condo, personal lines condo, as actuarially sound, meaning that the glide path would no longer apply to these lines of business going forward. So that restraint, or you know, that restriction of the capping, glide path capping, does not automatically apply to these lines of business. For commercial lines, we had recommended it, the indication was 18.8. We recommended 10.4. The office approved 8.3. Once again, the difference between the recommended and approved had to do with how the capping was applied. For commercial, we recommended no decreases. You know, keep everything between 0 and 15%. The office modified that to allow decreases up to minus 5. So for commercial lines, the rate increases are capped between minus 5 and 15%. I mean, that is the crux. Those are the highlights of what was in the order and what the difference between what we filed and what was approved.
Thank you.
I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board? I do have a couple of questions or comments. With the new rate filings that we're allowed to charge, how does that operate? How does that affect operations? Can we underwrite profitably with 36,000 policies, or do we start dipping into returns coming from Mr. Capel's side of the equation in order to subsidize our operations?
So, I mean, what we're seeing now, our rates are in good Let me back up. We continue to see improvement in the results, even despite being cherry-picked. And so we've seen this big reduction in overall frequency. And then of the claims being reported, has been reported, we see a big reduction in the litigation. So I think we are at a point where, now were you referring to the organization as a whole or the lines of business where the capping would
then? The organization as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we break even operationally without taking any money?
Yes.
We will still have a net operating gain.
Projected.
Yes.
Even at the lower policy count.
Yes, because lower policy count will be lower expenses.
Of course.
Lower rate, lower losses, lower admin, lower everything.
So our reserves, to Mr. Spotwood's comments earlier, should continue to increase.
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay. That was what I wanted to be very clear for the public to hear. Thank you, because eventually Mr. Spotswood's comments are very well taken. We increase enough of our own reserves that we can don't have to participate in the reinsurance market if we choose not to. Then we could be more effective in who we're covering, which is the people who can't get insurance elsewhere. Thank you. Yes,
sir. I may. So overall, looking at our portfolio of 326,000 policies, how close to actuarially sound are we today?
You know, as we said, we're very, very close. When we talked about, it summarizes the business we are.
Can I interrupt a second, Brian? I'll make a comment. According to OIR, we are actuarial sound. Now, whether we agree with that or not is a different ballgame. Okay.
Right.
But you, Mr. Donovan, I think you can finish your thought now.
Yeah. Now, I think we're in, since I've been here, it's been over 10 years since we've been in this good of a position financially, rate-wise. For the lines of business, I think we are, as I said, our overall indication was minus 0.3%, in December. And so we did, we're going to take a minus 5.9. How's that going to impact it? But what we're seeing, I saw positive, especially with the reports of reinsurance rates coming down. I think we're in a good position rate-wise at this point in time.
So you think that you're going to be in agreement with OIR synopsis that says we are actuarially sound, even with the rates that they allow us to charge?
That is correct, but I would hold off saying that wholeheartedly until we update the indications and really take into account all the cherry picking that's going on.
But we're close.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So again, I'm going to go back to a point I was making earlier because I want to, make sure that I understand this correctly and that we're acting going forward accordingly. But the two objectives that we had years ago from the legislature were to get to a point that we were actuarially sound and to reduce our overall policy count and exposure. And so I'd like to say, at least from my perspective, that this organization has done a good job at accomplishing those goals. I think we're now at a pivot point that we can start to look at things differently going forward and figure out what to do to continue to make insurance more affordable and more accessible in those areas where it's really needed. I think that we've been focused on making sure we're actuarially sound, reducing exposure. We've gotten there. Now what do we do? And, the order that came out that you described earlier, pointing to reductions going forward in the future and what they are, I want to make clear that that's not in effect yet. That doesn't occur until June and after. And so these reductions we're talking about, don't expect them tomorrow. They're coming next policy year beginning in June. Well, I'd like to really make sure that we're doing everything we can to bring as much relief to policyholders as we possibly can. And the other thing I would say is that we're focused on personal lines there, but the commercial sector is suffering as well. And I don't know what we do to help there, but commercial properties can't afford the kind of insurance rates that they're facing. So I don't know where we look to start to improve those rates, but commercial lines of insurance are just unaffordable.
Governor, I would like to clarify the effective date has been moved because we didn't get the order till yesterday. The new effective date will be July 1 instead of June 1 for the rates to go in. And I do also want to point out that even though the office came back and said that we are actually sound, it is still only on HO3s and HW2s and HO6s and HW6s. The rest of them, they said, are not actually sound. So we're still working on those, just to clarify that.
Thank you.
Mr. Sheldon. I'll go first. I it's good we have a governing board. We all have different views, and mostly we are aligned. And I agree with everything Governor Spotswood said, but I also, my opinion, and I think this was a legislative mandate as well, and put us in a little quagmire. Correct me if I'm wrong, didn't the legislature also force that we are not to be competitive with the marketplace? We are in such a good position now. In my opinion, I don't want citizens to become a competitive insurance marketplace for citizens to go, for people to go to. That's just my feeling on that. And then on the last point, right, that was an additional comment, and it's on the record or whatever, and I understand there's commercial insurance rates are a problem for developers and things of that sort, but I've said it in years past, you know, non-residential commercial, I don't think citizens should be in that line of business. Now, we're in it. We can't not be in it because the legislature have to dictate that we can't be in it, but In Northeast Florida, can't speak for other areas of the state, developers can get commercial insurance rates, and they can get commercial insurance. The rates aren't extraordinary in their condition, in their positions up there, but they come to citizens because all they want is a piece of paper just to be bonded out so they can get the thing built and flip it. And they want to come to citizens because the rates are so cheaper because we are competitive where we shouldn't be competitive. But that's just my position on not anything that doesn't have a single family home or whatever it may be where someone may reside. I don't think we should be in that business. And I don't think we should try to be in a position where we're competitive with the marketplace. We want to make sure that those people here, we're sensitive to that, but I don't want to be competing with these 19 other insurers that are coming into the state and everything else that's coming in. I think we want to kind of pause that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
As soon as I clean something up, somebody make a motion to adopt the minutes for
that. So moved.
Second. Thank you. Motion passes. Go ahead.
Am I good to go? Thank
you.
You
are.
And I think, Ms. Montero, you gave this number earlier, but how many new policies, personal lines, approximately, did Citizens take in over the last 12 months?
177,000,
which in just broad scope, lowest ever for the most part, right? And we still got some takeout companies to go. And so I think to Governor Spotswood's point, but also to Governor Shelton's as well, obviously the marketplace is taking care of itself, right? There's capacity in there. And I think the one thing that we all know that we also need to be considering, and this kind of goes to Governor Shelton's point, is, you know, actuarially sound today can be a lot different tomorrow, right? If we have some storms that blow through and reinsurance market changes and things of that nature. And so, and I bring up the point about the personal line specifically because we were created as the insurer of last resort, right? And we don't want to balloon, but we also want to provide relief in the marketplace where it's needed, right, within that 20% cap. And so we just want to be sensitive to that as we continue to go forward. I think the outlook in the state of Florida, at least from my perspective, as long as Mother Nature helps out, is very good in the insurance property side of the world right now. There's alternative fundings coming out, and there's things like that. And so that's a long-winded way of saying now I've got to ask a question. Is you made a comment about the OAR saying that they've taken away our ability for glide path going forward. Is that just this year, or is that it's now sunset, it's gone, see you later?
Jennifer, let me jump in on that one because I don't want to get ahead of the OIR. They did state in the order that these business lines were actuarially sound, right? So our traditional understanding of the statute and the glide path statute, and the statute says when a business line is actuarially sound, the glide path goes away. but that's all. We've got this in the order. I don't think we've talked to them about that. So I don't want to put words in OIR's mouth. That's how we're reading it right now without discussing it with OIR. Is that a fair way to put it, y'all? Yeah.
And just to reiterate, the glide path says this is the most that we could charge in 1 year up, right? So it's not necessarily it's going to be approved. It's not necessarily what's going to be recommended, but it just sets a cap on it. Okay, good. Thank you for clarifying that, Tim.
Can I make one more point, Mr. Chair? And the reason it's the reason I sort of crept up here during this report, and it goes to the comments that were made. How do we stay smaller? How do we not grow? Governor Shelton hit it on the head. We've got to be actuarially sound, but we can't get back in the position of competing with the private market. The reforms are working. The governor wanted to see rates come down. The legislature wanted to see rates come down. This board did. This team did. And the OIR clearly did, and rates are naturally coming down. The market is working, and the market is thriving, and there's downward pressure. But when it all balances out, to be that insurer of last resort, we cannot get back in the position, and we need to keep touting this message. The statute says also charge non-competitive rates. We can't compete with the private market. You can have an honest discussion about what that means in Monroe County, where maybe there is no meaningful market. I think it's getting better. I think there's some new, and I know one new insurer down here, but so I want to be fair. But the overall message is we cannot get back in the position of competing with the private market. That's why we grew more than we probably should have, and why recovery has taken longer than it should have. If we're charging non-competitive rates, you'll see a smaller oscillation up and down, if that makes sense.
All right, Mr. Adams.
Good morning, Chairman and committee members. I have a very quick product update that I
good.
Need to...
Quick is good.
Quick is good. All right. So our legal counsel gave us some indications that we needed to amend some of the product language. The first item is our home sharing host and short-term liability. And what we're trying to do is strengthen our dwelling fire contract language by incorporating home sharing and host activities in the definitions. And what we're trying to do is prevent liability issues because these are... not designed to be rented on short-term basis. The second item we have is flood coverage, and what we're trying to do here is revise the personal lines base policy forms, all the letters, the declarations, the things that go out. And what we want to make sure that we are highlighting is that the statutory requirement to policyholders are to secure and maintain flood coverage, and the failure to maintain that flood coverage at the time of a win-loss could result in the denial of the claim. We went back and looked at our statutes around the flood policy and found out that we do have a responsibility to check that at the time of a win-loss. And the last piece is just a clarification around privacy notice. And Chairman, I'd be glad to take any questions.
Board to entertain a motion to recommend approval of the changes from the committee. I have a second. Thank you. Those will move forward.
Thank you. That concludes my presentation.
All right. Any new business? This meeting is adjourned.